Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 12. Just five little short verses for the sermon titled Warning, Be Prepared, Be Ready. And Jesus is warning us to prepare for His coming. It's funny, isn't it, when you look at that scripture that we're about to go through, that as He stood facing death, knowing what was coming, He was already starting to tell you, get ready. Luke chapter 12, verse 35-40. Jesus speaking, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." That ought to just send a shiver right up and down your spine. May God add His blessing to that passage. And as we seek Him, let us join together in prayer. Father, let us set aside whatever thoughts we have about whatever needs to go on outside these doors. We're here right now dwelling in the Holy Spirit. We're here to hear the Word, Father. Let us grow from it. This is not my words, but yours, Father. Let them be strong. Let them go out full, come back fuller. And let them be yet another tool, another arrow in the quiver that we can use when we are assaulted by the evil one. And we can also use to uplift, encourage, and help those along the way that are lost. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. And all of his children said, Amen. As you well know, if you've been here long enough, and if you ain't been, then you know the statement that I'm about to make. I love reading instruction manuals. I break every mold that a man has. I do. When we get something new in the house, the first thing I do is get the instruction manual out, read it, and reread it. Because there is some information in there. We recently got a new piece of equipment at the house. A steam-powered mop. Well, I'm going to go back even further. And I'm going to get in trouble for this, but it's worth it. We got a brand new toaster oven. Brand new toaster oven. So we could do little things in the toaster oven, you know. I read the instructions. Why? Because I am smart. What are you laughing for? And the instructions were very clear. And so I walk in the kitchen one day and I find my wife looking at that thing going, "What is wrong with this thing?" "I don't know. The light didn't come on." I said, "Did you turn it past 20 and then set it back?" "What?" I said, "It was in the instructions that I told you to read." "Shut up." That's a true story, and she better shake her head. Yes, it happened just like that. In the front end are always the warnings. And they always make me laugh because some of them, really? I got a list of 10 of what I think are some of the funniest warnings that you ought not to know, yet we still have to tell you. Back in the days when electricity first came along, the rural cooperatives were getting going, and the Edison lamp was in every building, there was a warning on the wall of the building that went like this. "Electric light, do not attempt to light it with a match. Simply press the switch on the wall by the door." And that one made sense. That was brand new. Now let's go to the other 9. "Do not use in shower," was the instructions found on a hairdryer. You have to be told that? This product is not intended for use as a dental drill. comes in the packages still today of brand new drills. If you get an electric drill, you read the instructions, and I can tell by the open faces, like, what? It says it in there. It's not a dental drill. That means somebody tried it, right? Do not use orally. This was a warning on a toilet bowl cleaning brush. If your teeth are that bad, do not use for drying pets. Comes with the instructions for microwave ovens. Do not use as earplugs is a warning in the package of silly putty. I thought it would work. Caution! Remove infant before folding for storage, which is in the instructions on a portable stroller. Beware! To touch these wires is instant death. Anyone found doing so will be prosecuted. On a sign at a railroad station. This one. Do not attempt to stop the blade with your hand. That comes from a Swedish chainsaw manual. And this is a true story. This is my favorite. I used to be a real fan of working on small engines. And I don't know if you remember, but Craftsman and Cub Cadet built riding mowers back in the middle 70s, early 80s, where you sat on top the engine. You flipped the seat over and there was another cover, and there was the engine. You sat on top the engine. It wasn't behind you. It was under your backside. You follow me? Say amen. I was working on one for a neighbor. I had to go get parts for it. When I got there and saw at the dealership, they had a part for that thing, and I got it, and I opened it up. And inside were a list of warnings, and one of the warnings was, for this particular mower, please do not try to drive this mower without the seat being put back in place. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Somewheres, some dummy sat down on a running mower on one of them riding mowers. These kind of warnings make you laugh, yet they're there. And they're real. And we laugh at them. I'll admit to being the kind of person that may break a warning every now and then. It's just human nature. I didn't know my cousin's hair would catch on fire like that, but well, he's all right now. It's all grown back. But these are very real, and they're very real alerts that are put on packages and products for people that ought to have the good sense to listen and to understand the most basic of concepts. So why don't people listen? That's a big question, isn't it? Last Sunday, I showed up here. This is honestly incredible to me. I showed up here with an entire sermon ready to go. All I had to do was print it out. And on the way down the road, I get a phone call from Linda going, hey, the church is out of current. Oh, well, okay. We'll be all right. We can make do. Well, Greg's out there now, and we're going to figure it out. The wire's down in the back. And I get here, and shortly after I got here, Allegheny Power showed up, or Potomac Edison, whichever one it is. They showed up, and we looked at the problem, and they fixed it. And by 10 o'clock, a little bit before 10 o'clock, we had lights again. Yay! In those moments, I heard God tell me, do a different sermon. Talk about being prepared. Because I showed up, there was no power. I showed up, there was no way to print out. You have to be prepared. You have to understand where you're coming from. So go ahead and do a sermon on that. Yes, sir. So I sat down and started writing it. Right back there. I had 25 minutes to write my sermon. That's all right. I'm a professional. I can do this. Got the last part of the sermon put together. Was reading through it. I said, yeah, that'll work. Reached over to print it out, and the power went out again. Only this time, it wasn't coming back. Of course, we didn't have church. Some smart alecky friend of mine said, well, maybe God didn't want to hear what you had to say. Well, not my fault. But it gave me the opportunity to dwell on just how well we listen to the warnings. Some of us don't. There is not a single person in this church. I'm not going to make you put your hands up. You better believe it by now. If you don't, you and I will be having a discussion. Everyone in this church knows that Jesus Christ is coming back, right? Say amen. Amen. Put your hands up. How many of you believe it? Let's see. I'm looking around. All right, I got you. And that's the truth. The Bible says so. He says, I'm coming back. Anybody know when? Do you know that there is now a movement within the American cause of Christianity that believes that Jesus Christ is going to come back before 2050? Do you know what I say to you? You are stupid. You cannot say that. You can't even put that number out there. People ask me all the time, when's Jesus coming back? I don't know. Why not? Not my business. But I need to be ready. I need to be prepared. And so the sermon changed. And we had to heed the warnings. That was a warning to me to be prepared. You thought you were coming for one thing, and yet you got another. During the Revolutionary War, a loyalist spy appeared at the headquarters of the Hessian commander, Colonel Johann Rahl, carrying an urgent message. George Washington and his Continental Army had secretly massed and were crossing the Delaware River that morning and were advancing on Trenton, New Jersey, Christmas Day, where the Hessians were encamped. That's a pretty serious warning, isn't it? The spy was denied an audience with the commander, so he wrote this message on a piece of paper. The porter took it to the Hessian colonel, but Rahl was so deeply involved in a poker game that he shoved the note in his pocket. And when the guards at the Hessian camp began firing their muskets in an attempt to stop Washington's army, Rahl, who was still playing cards, thought they were celebrating Christmas Day and didn't realize that they were being advanced on. Without time to organize, the Hessians were captured. The battle occurred, and it started the ball rolling with the first major victory of the Revolutionary War. He was handed a warning. Brothers and sisters, you get given a warning from all time. I'm coming back. I am coming back. That's real. I don't care what people out there say. Frankly, I ain't got no time for it. Well, Jesus Christ ain't all that. And there are certain religions out there that call him a really good feller and a nice prophet, but not the Son of God. They are wrong. And I'll say it, and don't disagree with me. Sorry, I'm right. For once. And that's how it is. And we need to make sure that we're prepared for that. I get always asked, is Jesus coming back? Yes. But guess what? Many still don't believe. Now, if you have that little thing in you that goes, get ready to fire that thing off, ready? A survey taken in 2011 of 10 evangelical leaders. You know what that means, right? Preachers. Guys, get up there and pound a pulpit. A survey of them said 61% believe in the rapture of the church, compared to 32% who say the end times will not happen and not sure that Jesus will actually come back. You understand that? That means somebody is standing in front of people lying to them and not giving them the proper warnings. Man, that drives me crazy. I just want to... Never mind. Sinner. I want to forget sometimes that I'm a preacher when I hear that kind of stuff. We get lost in that. And sometimes, guess what, brothers and sisters? We forget it ourselves when we act a certain way. When we start saying certain things, maybe we slip and say that bad word, or we do something that maybe is a little off color. A friend of mine, she said the other day, she said, well, it's just like my mama always said, if you can't, don't get mad, just get even. And I said, what would Jesus do? Well, you know, I'm just playing around. But it's those little seeds of doubt that start things rolling that we forget that we live on borrowed time. We live on borrowed time in two fronts. We are only here for a short period of time, here on this earth. One day we're leaving, whether he comes back or whether it's our time, we're leaving. Got it? Say amen. Amen. That's what's going to happen. Go back to the scripture for a minute. Right out of the gate, Jesus says what? Verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. I don't think there's any other way to interpret that, is there? At my house on Saturday morning, my house wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They are ready for the Saturday, playing and goofing around and carrying on. And it's wonderful. On Sunday morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're not up yet. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I start to hear movement. At 7:15, I'm going to look. And I find the same two boys who sprang from their beds on Saturday morning ready to play it today going, I'm so sleepy, Daddy. And yet we are a lot like that. It's not our fault. Sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we have to remember these things. And so Jesus says, be dressed, ready to go, and keep your lamps burning. You want me to give you a translation for modern day? Have the door unlocked and be ready to go. One of Anna Lee's greatest sayings, whenever she sends me an email, she always has something to say at the end of it under her name. But the one that I like, it's about the only one I can remember, but the one that I like is, prayed up, packed up, ready to be picked up. Now that's awesome, isn't it? That's what he's saying. Prayed up, packed up, ready to be picked up. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Ready. That's your warning. That's the warning for being ready. That's the warning for being prepared. I am coming back. And when I come back, be ready. Don't have any doubt. Don't have any hesitation. Be ready. But the next thing you need to be careful of is let's make sure that the warning you're getting is correct. That it has truth in it. That everybody understands it. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, a railroad crash took a fearful toll of life and limb. It was a horrible thing. A train loaded with young people returning from school was stalled on a suburban track of what is known as a hot box. And for those of you who don't have the culture and the esteemed education of railroading, I will explain hot box to you because I happen to be that cultured person. Like my profile, it looks really good from this side. A hot box is when the bearings have heated up because they run out of grease and they've gotten so hot that they're glowing red. And in the old days of wooden coaches, a hot box would set the coach on fire and kill everybody in it. So when they identified one, and they could see them in the night because they glowed, they'd slow the train down and cool it down until they could get some grease in it. So it sat on a siding, stalled. The Limited was soon due, high-speed train. And a flagman was sent down to warn them that there was a train on the tracks. Thinking all was well, the crowd laughed and carried on and played and giggled and whatever. And suddenly the whistle of the Limited was heard and came on, and the heavy train crashed into the rear end of the local. The engineer of the Limited saved his own life by jumping, and some days afterwards was hauled into court for his part in the calamity. And now a curious discrepancy in testimony occurred. He was asked, did you not see the flagman warning you to stop? He replied, I saw him, but he waved a yellow flag. I took it for granted that all was well, and so I slowed back to 50%. The flagman was called. What flag did you wave? A red flag. And he went by me like a shot. Are you sure it was red? Absolutely, stated the flagman. Both insisted on the correctness of their testimony, and it was demonstrated that neither of them was colorblind. What happened? Finally, the man was asked to produce that very flag as evidence, and after some delay, he was able to do so, and the mystery was soon explained. It had been red. But it had been exposed to the weather for so long that all the red was bleached out, and now it was simply a dirty yellow. Our lives can get wrecked by gospels just like that. Our lives can get wrecked by not heeding the correct warning. Our lives can get lost by somebody that does not preach that truth. And I'm not building me up. I'm telling you that when you hear something, stop and test it against the scripture first. There's a lot of preachers out there nowadays that preach this, what do they call this thing? Oh, the money message. What is that thing called? What is it?
Prosperity.
Prosperity message. Thank you. If you do good things, if you pray, if you believe it, you'll get a Mercedes Benz. Really? I pray every day that I will wake up tomorrow morning, boop, and there'll be an old steam engine in the driveway. It don't happen. But yet there are thousands of people that are falling into that. You see it on social media. Hey, if you take this here picture of a $100 bill and you pray over it and pass it on, money's coming your way. Really? That's a yellow flag trying to stop a moving train. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We have to know what the truth is. And Jesus Christ is saying that. How do we know that he's saying that? Revelations chapter 22, if you care to follow along. In Revelation 22, verse 7, behold, Jesus speaking, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Biblical prophecy provides some of the greatest encouragement and hope to us today. Did you know the Old Testament was saturated with prophecies of Christ coming back? One scholar has estimated, now listen, there was also testimony to the second coming. One scholar has estimated that there is 1,845 references to Christ's second coming in the Old Testament. There are 318 references to the second advent of Christ. Amazingly, one out of every 30 verses, 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's birth, his first advent, there are 8 which look forward to his second coming. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this thy book. How do we know that we are being warned? Drop down to verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. But I love the next part. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood ain't coming in. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Do you know what we refer to that here today as? That's called a warning. Did you know it was in your instruction manual? Y'all know what Bible stands for, right? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Look at all these warnings in here. That's what it means. We must be ready. We have been warned. We have been told. I like this. During his 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy often closed his speeches with the story of Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. Now I want you to listen. On May 19th, 1780, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives, glancing out the window, feared the end was at hand. There was a lot of talk back in that point in time of the second coming of Christ. Quelling a clamor for immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, the day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish the candles to be brought. Rather than fearing what is to come, we are to be faithful until Christ returns. Does anybody remember 2 years ago when these nuts out in Kansas said that preacher said that the last day was coming back in the summer? You remember that? Maybe it was more than 2 years ago. Was it about 5 years ago, maybe? Anyhow, it was a big deal. This is the day. Well, on that day, Buck had a baseball game. And I got off from work, and I remember driving home, and I remember seeing this cloud that was the funniest shaped cloud I ever saw in my life. It was a point, almost like a big giant comma or apostrophe in the sky. And it followed me all the way to the basketball game. And I kept watching my watch, and I kept watching my watch, and lo and behold, my father was there with me. And I kept watching my watch, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I poked my dad and I said, either we've been really bad or somebody messed up. And he just started laughing. The point is, I didn't care. Be ready. We've had the warnings. I am coming soon. How much clearer is it than that? Don't take a dryer in the shower with you. Don't sit on a running engine. Don't grab a moving chainsaw blade. Don't touch wires when they say don't touch them. Although I still have a problem with that one. But don't do these things. Warnings. And they're all around us. But the final warning is, behold, I am coming soon. And I am going to bring you your reward. And so when we think about what's going on around us, when we think about the world around us, we think, hey, let's just be ready instead. We heed the warnings. Okay. You realize it could happen right now. Think about that for a minute. Look around y'all for a minute. Look in the front, look in the back. You all there in the back, the only thing you're going to see is the wall, so look forward. But look around. Realize that we could hear that trumpet sound and be gone in an instant. I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to be prayed up. You want to say it with me? Prayed up, packed up, ready to be picked up. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the words that you have given us as a huge reminder that we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. We take what he did on that cross completely to heart. And we don't let go of it. That we are lifted up all the time with that knowledge, Father. We thank you. We ask that you continually remind us that in the twinkling of an eye, your Son told it. We don't know what hour he's coming. We need to be ready. We don't have the luxury of knowing, and that's fine. We need to be ready. Thank you for the warning labels, Father, all over your book. Let us heed them. Let us talk to others about them. Let us dwell within our own families, within our own selves, within our community as pillars, as examples, and be ready to talk to whomever might come to us. Father, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We prepare this last hymn. The prayer bench is open. If you need strengthening prayer, if you need me, I'm here. If you don't, you can leave them here on the bench. And I just want you to remember, at any moment, amen.